beautiful sefer he put out a couple years ago. Rabbi Daniel Nayach Stein, Shlita. Ram B'Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzhak Elchanan. You've heard of Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzhak Elchanan? Okay, good. So let's see. So it's a piece on Parshas Vayeshev, but I took the middle section of it because it's very, very Chanukadik, and I think it's an important idea for us to really to learn about and to daven over and to try to live. He quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin. We'll start from Os Gimel. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that anyone should call Hamavarich as Yehuda al Maaseyu. Zeshabo bitza es hadin umachar es Yosef kepshara harehu begeder menaitz. Anyone who gives Yehuda a bracha, that Yehuda what? Yehuda made a pshara. What was the pshara? The brothers were thinking about killing Yosef. And Yehuda said, ma betza, what's there to gain by killing Yosef? Let's sell him to Mitzrayim. So you'll think, Yehuda did a good thing, right? Yehuda did a good thing. Anyone who's mevarech as Yehuda, a maaseh yuzeh, anyone who gives a bracha to Yehuda because of the thing that he did, that what? Shebo bitza es hadin, that he mediated the judgment, that he decided to sell Yosef, kipshara, kipshara means a compromise, as a compromise. Harehu begeder menaitz. If you bless Yehuda over his compromise, it's as if you've cursed. The menaitz means you've cursed. Wow. Interesting. Strong. Va'od amru b'medrash. And the medrash says further, kol ha-maschil b'mitzvah ve'ino gomra. Someone who starts a mitzvah but doesn't complete it, kover as ishto uvamav. Lo aleinu will come to bury his wife and his children. Shekevan shehischil Yehuda b'hatzalas Yosef. Since Yehuda began to save Yosef, right? He stopped Yosef from being killed. But he didn't save him all the way. He ended up encouraging his sale. Below Simo, he didn't complete the job. Cover as the Bathshua umeso er va'onin. He buried Bathshua. You've heard of Bathshua before? You heard of Bathshua? It's Yehuda's wife. It's a pasuk in Chumash. His wife passed away. Bereishis Perek Lamed Ches. Yehuda's wife passed away, and then he goes off with his buddy and gets himself into some trouble. So Bathshua is the wife of Yehuda, and Aaron and Onan are Yehuda's sons. So anyone who starts a mitzvah but doesn't complete it, like Yehuda, who began to save Yosef but didn't finish saving him, lost his wife and two of his children, lo aleinu. V'akoshi barur, so says Rabbi Stein, I don't understand. The question is very obvious. Madua yigra dino shel Yehuda midinam shel shar hashvatim. Why should Yehuda be worse? The other Shvatim were advocating to kill Yosef. And Yehuda said, let's not kill him, let's sell him. All right, it's at least what we would call a hatzala purta, a little bit of saving. No, a bissel is eichut, a little is also something, no? So he's worse, his judgment should be worse than the other Shvatim. Hare Yehuda hay hayochid shenisa lahatzil b'poel ischai Yosef. He was proactively trying to do something to save Yosef's life. Va'af hitzliach. Not only was he trying to, he did. He saved him by having him sold. V'lo lahargo, making sure that he wouldn't be killed. V'imkein amai ne'nash. And therefore, why is he so severely punished? And more than that, the concept of pshara is actually a very holy thing. Compromise is a halakha thing. V'od harei kaimalan b'gemar Sanhedrin. By the way, this is a Gemara Sanhedrin da vav amud beis. Beginning of Masecha Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, mitzvah liftsoa. It's a mitzvah to mediate. It's a mitzvah to compromise. It's a mitzvah to try to find the middle ground. Shenamar emes u'mishpat shalom shiftu b'sha'areichem. It's a pasuk in Zechariah. So the Gemara says, v'halo b'makom shiesh mishpat ein shalom. If there's judgment, then there's not peace. U'v'makom shiesh shalom ein mishpat. And where there's shalom, there's usually not judgment. Ela ezahu mishpat sheyeshvo shalom, says the Gemara, what is a mishpat that has shalom, that's an expression of shalom? What's a judgment? What's a court case that we would say is shalom dik? Haveyomer zebitzua. This refers to mediation, this refers to compromise, to find the middle ground. Instead of having a winner and a loser, so to speak, find the common ground. Hare sheyesh mitzvah ala dayan. La'aroch pshara bein bali hadin. So you see, the Gemara makes a point to say there's a mitzvah for a judge to try to mediate, to try to work out some type of compromise between the litigants. V'imkein eiza toluna kayemes neged Yehuda odos hapshara shebitza ben hashvatim. And therefore, again, Rabbi Stein asks, so why is it that Yehuda, if you say Yehuda did a good job, no, don't say Yehuda did a good job. If you give a bracha to Yehuda, it's as if you're cursing. Yes, John.
Can you say the same thing about Reuven?
Right, what about Reuven? Right. Good question where Reuven is in all of this. He also seems to be a middle ground. Right? And yet the Gemara seems to criticize Yehuda. Could be that Reuven's intentions were to finish the job. Yehuda, by selling Yosef, chose a different path. Right? Reuven was just putting Yosef in the pit temporarily with the intention of doing a Hatzalah Gemura. And then the brothers interfered, and that's why he wasn't able to save. The Torah even says about Reuven, right? Yishma Reuven v'yatzilayu miyadam. Reuven is attributed as truly saving Yosef. But what happened here with Yehuda? What are we so upset about? So he quotes from Rav Nevenzal Shlita, right? In Rav Nevenzal's Sefer, his Sichos on Sefer Bereishis, from Rav Nevenzal. Top of the left column. She'ein safek she'asiyas psharos bein ba'alei dinim she'ravim hu davar nifla. There's no question, there's no doubt that when two people are fighting over something, and two individuals have a machlokas, right, to work it out, to find the common ground, to try to make peace, to try to compromise is a wonderful thing. Ve'evin yisod bi'achsim she'bein adam l'chavero. And it's a cornerstone of bein adam l'chavero. To help people to work things out. 100%. V'yishuvo shel olam. And it helps to what? Make the world a stable place. It brings the world to a certain stability. Yachol iskayim rakishakol echa mebalei din. Muchan limchol ktsas al shitaso. When a person's willing to compromise a little bit on his shita, kedei lefayis eschavero, in order to appease his friend. That's a very chashuv thing. That's a very, very chashuv thing. But friends, there's times when you can't compromise. Me'idach, writes Rabbi Stein, again quoting Rav Nevenzal, im kidei la'aroch pisron hadadi. If in working out a pisron means like a solution, right? An interpretation, a solution. Hadadi means mutual. In working out a mutual solution, hadayin tzarech levater ala kronos shalo velos pshara bein emes v'sheker. But there's certain situations, and it's very nuanced. Sometimes it's not easy to tell which type of situation I'm in. But sometimes a person has to be prepared to take a stand and to say, no, no, one approach is true, one approach is not true. Right? When two people have machlokas, they have a different perspective on something. Sometimes we can say, elu ve'elu devei Elokim chayim. Sometimes we could say there's a truth to both positions. Right? But when we're dealing with Yosef, we have to make a choice. Yosef is either a holy tzaddik, or Yosef is actually the bad son of Yaakov, just like Avram had a bad son Yishmael, Yitzhak had a bad son Esav. Yosef is the bad son of Yaakov, and he should be killed. He's chayav misa. To decide we're going to sell him, that doesn't help anything. Is he a tzaddik? If he's a tzaddik, let's come to terms with his dreams. Let's give him the respect he deserves. If he's a Rasha who's chayav misa, then let's put him to death. Let's have the confidence to stand by our position. Sometimes when you choose a middle path, you're not really choosing anything. And that's what Rav Nevenzal says. That was the failure of Yehuda. When a person, when a dayan, when a person who's looking at a situation is negotiating between truth and falsehood, hareza machri b'sa'olam v'yata scharo b'hafseido. And that's exactly what happened here with Yehuda. Yehuda was looking again at a machlokas amongst the brothers. Is Yosef chayev misa, or is he entirely innocent? But mimanavshach, selling him is not going to solve anything. That's not the answer. And of course, what happens after Yehuda does this? How does Perek Lamed Ches begin? Jump down a couple of lines where it says Bereishis Lamed Ches in parentheses. It says Vayihi ba'is ahi vayered Yehuda me'es achav. What happens right after this scene? What's the next scene in our parsha? Yehuda goes down from his brothers. Rashi comments, he goes down means that he had a Yerida, Perish Rashi, seven lines from the bottom. Lelamed shehoriduhu achiv migdulaso. That what? That the brothers demoted Yehuda. Yehuda is supposed to be Malchus. You're supposed to be a leader, Yehuda. You're supposed to know how to take a position. A leader has to sometimes make difficult decisions. It may not be, people may not like his position. But if you live in a world of endless compromise, so you live nowhere. So Yehuda was demoted by the brothers, Kishiro Bitsara Saviyam, when they saw their father's pain. Amru, they said to him, Ata Amarta Lamachro, you were the one who suggested to sell Yosef. Ilu Amarta Lahashivo Hainu Shomim Lacha. Had you said, bring him back to Tati, we would have listened to you. The same way you said, sell him and we listen to you. If you would have said, you know what, Chevra, this is a bad idea. Maybe we're not understanding who our brother really is. Let's bring him home to father and have a conversation about this. We would have listened to you. So they said, Yehuda, you're supposed to be a leader and you aren't. So Yehuda was not trying to find a common ground between two people fighting over, you know, something in Mominus, where there was a misunderstanding, and finding common ground is a holy thing. Between a correct conclusion and a corrupted conclusion. And therefore his pshara was not helpful. That's not leadership. Turn to the top of the next page. And therefore Yehuda, of course, has to be demoted. Yehuda was taken down from his position. You can't be a manig, you can't be a leader. You can't be a leader unless you're willing to take a strong position on things. If you're always going to try to make everyone happy, then you're not going to be able to be a proper leader. Says Rabbi Stein, let's look at Avram Avinu. Let's look at the place where all of our spiritual journeys begin, Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was very good at what? At being makariv people. Right? He was very approachable. So you would think if someone is so approachable, he must be the type of person who just like tells people what they want to hear. He's always right. He always says the right thing that the other person wants to hear. Says Rabbi Stein, it's the farthest thing from the truth. V'chein matzinu ba'Avram Avinu. She'afal gav shuhu haya mashpia ha'gadol b'yoser. Avram Avinu was the greatest mashpia. He was the greatest influencer. She'zocha l'karev harbe nefashos. He was able to bring many people to Avodas Hashem. V'haya lo legionos shel chasidim. He had legions of followers. Mikol makom harehu nechshav ka'Avram ha'ivri. But the Torah introduces us to Avram as what? As Avram HaIvri, the one who is always Me'ever Lenar. He was always on the other side. Right? He took on the world. He was a person who wasn't scared to challenge his whole society. So he didn't compromise as a means of being Makari people. He's Avram HaIvri. V'isa b'medrash shekol ha'olam kulo me'ever echad. The whole world was on one side, v'hu me'ever acher. And he was courageous enough to take the other side. Avram thought totally differently than his generation. He stood out as a real individual, thought for himself. So how does a person who's so deeply, right, so deeply connected to his own worldview, so how does he bring people in? Don't you have to go out and kind of meet people where they are? Heich Avram hitzliach la'ashpia al b'nei doro. How did he have such a big hashpa? Mekeven shuhu hayadocha shito seyam legamri. He didn't hold of the way that they live their lives. So how is he relatable? How did Avram become so relatable? So Rabbi Stein quotes from Rav Shach, Rav Elazar Menachem Ben Shach. Rav Shach passed away in 2001. Rosh Yeshiva Panovich, one of the three Rosh Yeshiva Panovich. At that time. He passed away in 2001. You know when Rav Shach was born? Let's see, if he passed away in 2001, he probably was not born in the 1800s, right? Rav Shach was born in 1899. Can you imagine? Rav Shach was born in 1899 and he passed away in 2001. Can you imagine? You know how many lives that man saw? World War I, World War II. 2001? Amish, one of the Ziknei Yisrael. Rav Shach was a Baal Shita. Rav Shach was a very strong-willed person. But he was inspired by the legacy of Avram Avinu. Why? Because Rav Shach says, Shaharbe anashim choshim, shevichdei lahatzliach, b'toch hatchum shel kiru v'chokim. Many people think that to be successful in Kirov, and Chavra, listen to this carefully, it's relevant to every one of us, whether you work for NCSY or not. Many people think that if you're involved in Kirov work, tzrichim la'asos psharos, b'chdei limtso basis mishutaf, im eilu she'enam shomrei Torah u'mitzvos. People who are involved in Kirov think that they need to make a pshara, some type of compromise, to find a basis mishutaf. A basis means what? What's a basis? A base, mishutaf. Right, where we can meet up. Right? Some common ground, the common denominator. Im eilu she'enam shomrei Torah u'mitzvos. I need to meet you where you are in order to make Torah relatable. You understand why this is a Hanukkah Torah. This was the whole approach of the Misyavnim. This is what Yavan wanted to do. Where Torah has to learn to compromise with Yavan. Torah can't compromise with Yavan. Torah has to be Torah. Yavan can be Yavan. Yavan has a place maybe in the worldview of people who also learn Torah. But if Torah and Yavan become one and the same, then no way, then we're out. No deal. So Rav Shach says, people think you need to sometimes find that common denominator, that common ground, in order to what? To mekarif people. V'zeh ta'us ayoma. And this is a what? A tragic mistake. It's not true. You can be relatable, but you can't compromise your Torah values. That's not the answer. And Avram Avinu was the greatest example of that, because he was the greatest kirov professional, and he was also Avram Ivri. He's also Echad Haya Avraham, in the language of the Navi. He's a one-of-a-kind Jew. What about Aaron HaKohen? What's your picture of Aaron HaKohen? Very loving, right? Oiv Shalom, Rodev Shalom, Oiv Asabrios, Makarvan LaTorah. Rabbi Stein quotes a Medrash here. Medrash in Vayikra on the Pasuk. Toras Emes, six lines from the bottom. Toras Emes Haisa Befihu, V'rabim Heshiv Me'avon. Pasuk in Malachi. Pasuk that the Medrash says refers to Aaron HaKohen. So look, Toras Emes Haya Befihu. Aaron HaKohen was an emistic person, and yet still, Rabim Heshiv Me'avon. He brought many people back from sin. It's not a contradiction. You don't have to try to fit in order to help someone else to experience the truth of Torah. Ratzalomar, Shalemaros Shetoras Emes Haisabafiyu, even though his commitment to Torah was unwavering. We picture Aaron HaKohen, he's so friendly, he's so nice, he was unwavering. Shalohitir Esa Asr Velo Asr Esa Mutar. He didn't run events that were halachically questionable as a means of being makarif people. That was never the approach. Mikol makom heishiv rabim me'avon. He brought many people back from sin. Not by compromising, but by being true to himself. By being authentic, by being real. Okay, let's go to the left column. Os dalet. V'habor reik ein bo mayim. Yeah?
How can we understand golden calf with Aaron?
Yeah, I was thinking about that also in preparing this piece. It seems that if there was a moment where Aaron kind of slipped, right? Again, who are we to say? But also we got to read the Chumash, right? So if there's a moment where Aaron HaKohen seems to have compromised and it was tragic, right? And again, we don't believe in infallible saints. Our tzaddikim make mistakes, so you can say Aaron made a mistake. And the mistake was that it was, like this Medrash is saying, that's not who Aaron really was. Aaron was a person who, despite being so loving and so welcoming and so connected, he was also what? He was also a person who's Taurus Emes Haisa Bepiu. But yeah, I would say that's the moment where Aaron compromised. And you see from that, right? That Aaron's willingness to try to negotiate a little bit turned out to be very tragic.
Right, I feel like this also contradicts the idea a little bit of going back to people's
thoughts. So we're saying you got to bring them up. Right. Again, it's very nuanced. It's a delicate idea, right? Because there is, of course, a way to meet someone where they are on an emotional level without compromising your values. It's delicate. It's very delicate. But there are people who, you have to first and foremost know what you believe, because otherwise you end up getting into that gray space and things can get very, very fuzzy very quickly. But yeah, I guess that situation with Egel Azov is an example of Aaron HaKohen maybe slipping away from this a little bit, if we could say such a thing. Yeah. Okay. V'haborek ein bo mayim. V'yesh lumon mikan she'osir la'odim lispasher b'kiyam ha'mitzvos. So again, when we talk about not compromising, When it comes to halacha, when it comes to mitzvos, obamida shuhu masr la kadosh baruch hu, when it comes to a particular character trait that you developed, a certain value that you have, that you're dedicated to Hashem in this area, and now all of a sudden you're in a difficult situation, you have to say to your employer, it's Erev Shabbos, I can't stay in the office to just finish one more deal. It's Shabbos, I have to go. If you're going to fire me over it, okay, so I'll be my Mesiras Nefesh. Hopefully your boss will see that you're a dedicated worker and you're an honest person, and you'll make up the time on weekends, and you'll come in on non-Jewish holidays, whatever. But a person has to say, there's certain things that I can't, there's certain areas when I enter into Usser and Mutter, Sheker and Emes, Aveira and Mitzvah, where I'm not able to compromise. He quotes the Pasuk in Devarim Yud Aleph. Re'ei Anochi Nosein Lifneichem Hayom Bracha Uklala. This is a very famous and beautiful Svarno. Hashem says, behold, I am placing before you today blessing and curse. So let me ask you, is there nothing in between blessing and curse? Upirish HaSvarno, the Svarno explains, beautiful Svarno. Habita u're'ei. Why does it say re'ei Anochi? It means re'ei, look at this, habita, contemplate it deeply, stare at it. When we stare at the Neros Chanukah, we're supposed to what? We're supposed to be thinking, ner mitzvah v'torah ur, I want to drill that into my mind. Of all the things that I see and all the ideas that I hear, I want to spend a little time staring at those candles, which represent ner mitzvah v'torah ur, and I want that image to be imprinted on my mind. So the Svarno says, Hashem says to us in Parshas Re'ei, stare at it. Think about it deeply. Habita Re'ei, contemplate it deeply. Meditate on it. Shelo yihyeh in yanecha al ofen beinoni. Your matters in life, the way that you choose to live, in yanecha, right? All of your things, all of your doings, should not be beinoni. Don't strive for average. Don't set out in life to be a beinoni. Kamoshu aminag b'shar ha'umos. Says the Svarno, as is the minug, by many people in the world. An average Joe. Heard the expression, an average Joe? The American dream, you know? Right? A nice, simple life. But Jews have to strive for something more. We have to strive to be bigger than that. And Hashem says, because middle average, Beinoni, is not really an option by a Jew. Now, I know you're going to say, what do you mean? Beinoni, we talked about Beinoni. Hang on a second. Says the Svarno, quoting the pasuk, ki amnam anochi nosein lifneichem hayom bracha uklala. Hashem says, I'm essentially giving you two choices. We mentioned numerous times this year the Gemara and Megillah and Daf Yudalid that Jews are compared to stars and Jews are compared to dust. If we go up, we're going to go really high. If we go low, we're going to go really low. We don't do a great job staying in the middle because we don't belong in the middle. We live in a world of bracha and klala. Heim shnei hakitzos. These are the two extremes. Ki abracha hi atzlacha yoser min amaspik. Bracha means success more than normal. Altzad hayoser tov, in the best of ways. And klala is what? Is me'ira mechaseres. It's a curse. It's a void. It's a lack. It's a curse. And therefore the pasuk is saying to us, v'shneim lifneichem, they're both in front of you, lahasi kafi mashe tivcharu. Choose what you want. Do you want to choose bracha or klala? So let's say I say, I don't want to choose bracha or klala, I want to choose average, I want to choose beinoni. It's not a choice, Hashem says. Re'ei, anochi, nosein, lefnechem. Meditate, understand that as a Jew, whether you like it or not, you're called to be a leader in the world. And leaders have to be courageous, and leaders can't strive for average. Turn to the top of the next page, page Samach Beis. The pasuk says, Va'abur reik ein bo mayim. Va'abur reik ein bo mayim. The pit was empty, there was no water. What does the Medrash say? Mayim ein bo aval nechashim v'akravim yesh bo. So, Chevra, I'll ask you a question. How do you know? The Pasuk just says there's no water. How do you know there's snakes and scorpions? U'lechor yesh litmua. Di'im kein amay lo kasav behedya besocha pasuk shayi besocha bor nechashim v'akravim. Why does the Pasuk say there was no water? Why doesn't the Pasuk say they threw him into a pit and there was, right? There were snakes and scorpions. Why are you telling me there was no water? Oh, from here you learn that there must have been snake. So he says, Bal Korachach, it must be that that's exactly what it's trying to teach us. Shezeh bal lilamdeinu, shekol bor, she'ein bo mayim, that any pit, and by the way, the word bor, right, which means a pit, bor is similar to the word bor, right, B-O-O-R, which even in Hebrew, boor, means a boorish person, an unrefined person, an uneducated person. A boor reik ain bo mayim. When a person has no mayim, what's mayim? Has no mayim, ain mayim el Torah, he writes. So mamela, automatically. The Torah doesn't have to say. If there's no water, then of course, if you don't fill your life with meaningful substance, then of course you're going to get yourself into trouble. However, I'm a little bit older than you, and I could say that this is 1,000,000% true. People who fill their life with Torah and avodah, and even just productive work. Like Rav Weinberger was, you know, for those who had a chance to listen to that shiur that I put in the WhatsApp group the other day. People who are just busy doing good things, being busy with, you know, just productive stuff, even just working, hard work. Someone sent me a book. I just started reading it. One of my dear friends sent me a book. It's called Shop Class as Soul Craft. It's a geschmack book. It's a guy who got a PhD from like Chicago, University of Chicago Philosophy School or whatever. Brilliant guy. And then he was like working at some think tank, getting paid a nice salary to like sit around and talk about stuff. And he realized, like, this is really, I don't want my whole life to be abstract ideas where it doesn't do anything for anyone. And the you know, subtitle of the book is, you know, like on the value of work. So what this guy did, he decided, I don't want to be some philosopher anymore. He's a brilliant guy, got a PhD. Yeah, I don't want to do this. I wanna fix motorcycles. I wanna work with my hands. I wanna do something. I want a guy to come in here looking down in the dumps because his bike is broken. And I want him to leave. I want him to rev up his bike on the way out and hit the road with a big smile on his face. I feel like I'm doing something in the world. And that's what he did. That's what he did. He opened this mechanic shop. And he speaks about how we've lost, you know, we've lost sight of like the value of being able to fix something, to build something. And the geschmack that human beings inherent in our soul, we like to be able to do something, you know, to feel productive. And we live in a world where things are just more and more automated. He says, even the machines, we try to like almost hide the fact. He says, you open up some cars today, right? The engine doesn't look like it because everything is buried under like 1,000,000 gadgets and things like that. People want to just, you know, he says, like, I used to be able to like get a catalog in the mail and like order parts for like your broken whatever, appliances. And that was a geschmack. There's something very healthy about that. There's something very, very geschmack about that. And one of the yesodos of his book is that, you know, we've created a world where like academia is like the ultimate, you know, the people of ideas, that's like the ultimate. And he says, you know, people like have like fancy parties, you know, chashuv people with very smart people and rich people, and they get together and they talk about ideas, and they've never fixed anything in their life, but they're theoretically, they've got a lot of really great abstract ideas. And he said, and if someone would like see me, you know, at the end of the day at 5 p.m. with my hands covered in grease, like they wouldn't want to talk to me, they wouldn't invite me to their chashuv parties. But he said, his yesod basically is, he said, but if you knew that the guy who fixed your motorcycle could go home and write philosophy books that you couldn't even understand, would you talk to me then? Would you hold of me then? If you knew that I'm much smarter than you, and I'm choosing this because this is chashuv, because I want to be involved in fixing things, you know, would you give me the time of day? Or would you think I'm just some dumb car mechanic? Who, by the way, is maybe not so dumb at all. He's probably a pretty smart guy. Don't know how to fix complicated machines. He says it's not just, he says it's intellectually more engaging sometimes than sitting in some Washington think tank and talking about ideas. It's a geschmack book. A very geschmack little book. So a boor reik ein bo mayim, if a person doesn't, and again, I'm not talking about even filling your life with Torah and Mitzvah, I'm talking about just being productive. Right? But if a person doesn't fill himself with substance, then the Torah doesn't need to say, if the pit is empty, if your life is empty, if you're not striving for something, you're going to get yourself into trouble. Nechashim and Akravim are going to come your way. There's no two ways about it. And that's where Ayanochi Nosein Lefneichem Ayom, Bracha Uklala. There's no middle path. He ends the paragraph by quoting another series of psukim in the Chumash. Im b'chukosai teilechu, if you walk in the ways of Torah and mitzvos, nu, and what's the other pasuk? Im b'chukosai timasu. So hold on a second. Either in B'chukos, I tell you, Rashi says, "Shetu amelim b'Torah." I learn Torah seriously. And then what's the other side of that equation, in the chukos I tim asu, I despise Torah. If I despise mitzvos, can't I just be like a parva guy? I have to be either like a base medrash guy, or I have to be someone who hates Torah and mitzvos. And again, he quotes from Rav Shach that essentially there's a certain basic truth that yes, if you're not going to learn seriously, you're going to come to develop a very cynical and negative attitude towards Torah and mitzvos. If the pit is empty of mayim, ein mayim el Torah, there will be nechashim v'akravim. Period. Very stark. Yeah.
Just a question on the Lashon also.
Yeah.
So like, in a more example, mayim, if it's empty and there's no water, like obviously if it's empty, there's nothing in it.
Well, that's the point, right? By saying there's no water, it's mashma that the Torah is hinting to us that there's something else in it. Water is not in it, but something else is in it. I mean, that's the basic way the Chazal came to that. That's the way, basic way. But again, if it says empty, you don't need to say there's no water. Once you've already said it's empty, so that's the point. It's empty of water, but it has something else.
That's
well, again, if your life is filled with nechashim v'akravim, right? If your life is filled with, you know, I mean, a life that's busy with averos is an empty life, even though it's filled with all sorts of content. Like that's filled with the substance of the world. If it's not meaningful, then the Torah is calling that empty. It might look very full. You might look very busy. You might be running around. You know, you might be billing hours, but there's an empty. There's a shallowness to it. There's an emptiness to it. That's what he's saying. Yeah. That's what we just learned. That's his point. Right? That by definition, the Torah wants you to understand that if you leave that void, right, the Torah doesn't need to say Nachashim Vakravim, Yeshvo. The Torah wants you to understand that if a pit that's empty of Mayim, Ein Mayim El Torah, a life that is devoid, again, of substantive Torah living, is going to have a certain negativity. It's a certain, again, I'm speaking specifically for Jews. For non-Jews, again, how they fill their life meaningfully, I'm not saying that everything that, but for a Jew, by definition, if you don't have Mayim Shel Torah, by definition, you're going to have Nechashim and Akravim. There's no question about it. There's no question about it. So then he quotes the Rambam in Os Hay, at the bottom of page Samach Beis. He quotes the Rambam, the famous Rambam, right? Someone must be thinking about this Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos, where the Rambam says the proper path in life is to walk the middle path, not to be an extremist. When it comes to all midos, when it comes to all of our character traits, don't be too stingy and don't be a spendthrift. Right? Don't be too this, don't be too that. You have to find the middle path. You got to find the middle path. The Rambam says there's two midos we go to the extreme. We extremely avoid anger and we extremely avoid gaiva. But other than that, we try to walk the middle path. The mida beinonis, the shvil hazav, as people like to call it. That's the path of a chacham. So Rabbi Stein points out that that's a mistake to think that Rambam applies to everything in life. That Rambam is talking about character development. And a healthy emotional equilibrium is that a person is able to find some type of balance between the various midos, right, and emotions of the soul. But he quotes from the Netziv at the bottom of the page, seven lines from the end of the left column of page Samach Beis, he quotes from the Shailus and Tshuvos Meshiv Davar, that's the Netziv, the great Rosh Yeshiva of Elashon. In the Shailus and Tshuvos Meshiv Davar, Heshiv Shenuscha Zu Mevoseses Al Choser Havana Muhusis, a person who says, right, that this Rambam is sort of like the hallmark for everything in my life is lacking understanding of the essence of what the Rambam is saying. Shurak b'nogeya l'midos b'nei adam. When it comes to character, when it comes to my interactions, you know, b'nei adam l'chaveiro, and again that takes us back to the world of pshara. Is pshara a mitzvah? Or is pshara a terrible thing? Conflicting gemaras, contradictory gemaras in Sanhedrin that we started with. And the answer is that when two people have different viewpoints, which are both true, I'm standing on this side of the room, you're standing on that side of the room, we both see the room, we both see all the same people in the room, right? But you have a better view, Ashi has a better view of Jared, right? And I have a better view of Michael, based on where I'm standing. So everyone has, and they're all true, right? All of our viewpoints in this room, they're different, but they're true. So in a world of negotiating between people and finding common ground, okay, that's where the Rambam says the Shvil Azav, the Mida Beinunis. But he says two lines from the bottom, Aval Ba'avodas Hashem Va'asiyas HaMitzvos. But when it comes to mitzvos, Rabbi Stein spells out, he says some people think like this. There are people, the extreme right, tzaddikim, the extreme left, rishon. And then there's Beinoni, there's middle of the road. Right? Those are three categories. So I can choose to be Beinoni. So the Netziv says, no, when it comes to Avodas Hashem, when it comes to Asiyas HaMitzvos, Kol Echad Chayiv Lishov, a person needs to strive and thrive and reach for Lios Bitzad, turn to the top of the next page, Hakitzoni Bioser Shel Tzadi Gamor. I want to be an extremely righteous person. Right? When it comes to my righteousness, I want to strive to be the best. V'chol mishaparak me'alav ol Torah v'yiras Hashem. When I strive for average, when I strive for good enough in avodas Hashem, afilu b'miksas eino rak b'tzad ha'smoli shalom iskeret, elohu nimsa chutz v'mahalach emunaseinu legamri. It's not just that he, gravitates towards the left. It's not a Jewish way of thinking. Re'eya nochi nosein lefneichem yom brachu klala. The Jewish people. And it's not a bragging right. I always make this point. I want to be very clear about this. Because if a non-Jewish person was sitting here right now, they would say, you're saying the Jews are the best. So I am saying the Jews are the best, but it's not a bragging right. It's a responsibility. It's a huge responsibility. 613 mitzvos is not, ha-ha, we're better than you. Anyone who wants to join us is invited to join us if they're sincere. It's a responsibility. It means I care more for humanity than the average person. Right? Not that I necessarily do, but I have to. It's my obligation to. Right? I encourage everyone in the world to care deeply about the well-being of the world at large. But as a Jew, I have to strive to what? To hold myself to the higher standard. When people, criticize the Jewish people for this or that, and we're quick to say anti-Semitism, right? And it may be anti-Semitism. But it's also the revealing a certain truth, and I'm not, God forbid, saying anti-Semitism is acceptable in any measure. I'm just saying it reveals a certain truth. When the world expects more from us, so does Hashem, and so should we. That's a responsibility that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has placed upon us, whether we like it or not, and we have to rise to that challenge. And it is a challenge. It's not easy. I'm not saying this is easy. It's easy to throw these words around. But when it comes to Ruchnius, Ein Klal Derech Emtzeis, we can't strive for middle of the road. Sometimes you have to have the courage to acknowledge there's an emes and there's a sheker. There's a mitzvah and there's an avera. There's a bracha and a klala. And he ends Osei by quoting the Kotzker Rebbe. This is a great line. You never saw this line. This is a good one. The Kotzker Rebbe said, Hasusim holchim be'emtza kvish. Horses walk in the middle of the road. In the public thoroughfare, it's the horses, right, that walk in the middle of the street. Right. People walk on the sidewalk, four cars. The horses, the wagons, right? A horse goes in the middle of the street. A person has to pick a side. It's a chashuv line from the Kotzker. Yeah, Yoni, what do you want to say? Thank you for your patience.
Yeah, this is going back to the Shopcraft, the Soulcraft.
Yeah.
Like you said that he wouldn't want, or he didn't feel fulfilled just like learning philosophy all day.
Yeah.
And just speaking philosophy and wanted to do something with his hands, right, something productive. But I feel like from a Jewish point of view, it would be like a really great thing to learn all day.
Yeah, that's a great question.
And to not kind of have that second component of
actually. That's a great question. Right. Meaning you're saying, what's the difference, right, between a person who sits and learns Gemara all day and a person who philosophizes all day? Right? So the Jewish response to that, right, the Jewish response to that, first and foremost, we have to remind ourselves that the Gemara itself comes to the conclusion that the purpose of learning is to be able to do. Right? That much is clear. And a person who says, I only want Torah to the exclusion of anything else, the Gemara has negative things to say about such a person. Right? So obviously the goal of Torah study is the application of it. Right? But you'll say, but that's not 100% true, because we learn Lishma, right? And there's a concept of Talmud Torah for the sake of Talmud Torah. Not only Torah as a hechsher mitzvah to get us more knowledgeable about doing mitzvos. So we have to say that the Torah approach, and again, one could cynically respond and say, well, a philosopher might say the same thing. Okay, he can say whatever he wants. I only have to know what we say. I think we would have to say that Limud Torah, right, as opposed to just abstract philosophy, has a direct hashpa on the world. That would be the Jewish response. That learning Torah, right, is not, as the Gemara says, just, we wouldn't say someone who's just sitting and reading all day is just reading books. What good does he do for the world? Go out and do something for the world. Again, there are people maybe who, are pretending to learn all day and probably would be better off going out and doing something for the world. Right? But for the people who are truly learning Torah all day in an authentic way and doing it l'shem shemayim, right? The Jewish people believe in that as a value. Talmud Torah k'neged kula. Right? So we have to believe that the Torah itself, the Torah study itself, has a direct hashpah on the world. I'll give you one example, just from our Gemara and Makos. Hashem just put in my head. Happy I have something to say. There's a Gemara that says, on the pasuk, Om dos hayu raglecha b'sharayach Yerushalayim. Right? So the Gemara says, in what merit, in what tzchus were the Jewish raglayim omed b'shar? In other words, when the soldiers go out to battle, in what tzchus are they zochat Omdos hayu raglein? What keeps their feet strong on the battlefield? Right? It's the talmidei chachamim who are loimdim b'shar, the people who are learning in the gates. Right? So that means we need soldiers on the battlefield, right? And we need people in the Beis Medrash. And they're both very chashuv. They're both very important. Right? They need each other. If you're just going to sit in the Beis Medrash, then you're asking Hashem to make miracles for you, and we don't believe in that. And if you send everyone to the battlefield and no one's davening for the soldiers, so that's terribly dangerous. Because we believe tefillah matters. We believe Torah matters. Right? But we have to, it's a hard question. It's a delicate question. Again, authentic Torah believes in, obviously, learning for the sake of learning. It's not just abstract. It does have a hashpa on a person and on the world. Right? And at the same time, we have to be comfortable saying that, like Chazal say, right, the purpose of limud is that it leads to masa, that it leads to action. And the Gemara is critical. A person who says, EFSHI, I only want to learn all day, I don't want to do mitzvahs. I just want it to be theoretical. So obviously that's a total perversion of Torah. Yeah.
On the idea that it's very important for us to have kind of two camps here, one in the battlefield and one in the spiritual battle.
Yeah.
So that works really well in the background when you're just thinking about so you have parts of Klal Yisrael that are doing each thing. If you think about yourself as an individual, where do I particularly?
Yeah.
I think that's much more difficult.
It is hard. How do I know my kochos and nefesh? How do I know what I'm supposed to do with my life? That's always a fear. And it can go in both directions, by the way. You could decide you want to, choose a career path. Right? You decide, I want to be a rabbi. I want to be a Jewish educator. I want to be involved in Jewish communal, advocacy, whatever. And then you get to the Olam Emes, and Hashem says, that wasn't your calling in this world. I needed you to be a Kabbalistic painter in Tzfat. That's what you. But look at all the good that I did. That's not. But I didn't need you to do that. That wasn't what your soul was sent to this world to do. Yeah, that's a hard. How am I supposed to figure that out? The Navi calls the Nevi'im of old the Roeh, right, the seer. They've only gone right to one place. That in the olden days you would go to the Roeh, you'd go to the seer. And you say, seer, what do you see? Tell me, look in the heavens and tell me what the essence of my soul is. And the Ro'eh would tell you what you're supposed to do with your life. Nowadays, how do we know? Many crossroads in life where I make critical decisions. It's amazing to think about over the course of a trajectory of a lifetime. I think about it in simple things. People I met, Shana Aleph. Certain people I'm friends with. Had I gone to a different yeshiva, maybe I wouldn't even know those people. People who are essential to my life. People I feel very close to. And one slightly different decision, who knows? It's amazing to think about. But yeah, I don't know how to figure those things out. Am I supposed to be a soldier on the battlefield? Am I supposed to be someone in the Beis Medrash? Am I sometimes supposed to be both? Yeah.
That's the
fun line. Yeah, go, please.
So, this is what I've learned from experience. I've gotten the sense that normally when you think something is right, like internally, it's coming from like a kind of place, and so therefore, like one would think that that's like the right way for you to go, or like you've seen it in, like you've learned that in particular situations, like learning Torah, or like talking to people about it, and then like you internalize what the right thing is for you. But like we also have the Yetzer Hara,
yeah.
I know that's just not.
There's a very scary little Torah from Rav Tzadik, a coin of Lublin. It's also a Gemara in Makos, Daf Yud. B'derech she'adam rotza leilich molichan osa. Gemara says, the path that a person wants to go on, he's led upon. The ultimate example, Gemara gives multiple examples, but I think the ultimate example is Bilam. Right? Bilam says what he really wants the whole time, and he keeps pretending he's saying something else. Oh, I just want to do what Hashem wants me to do. I want Hashem to do it. Maybe I can go with this chevra. Maybe I can go curse the Jews. But I really just want to do what Hashem. Essentially, what he's saying is, I'm going to do what I want to do. But I'm going to pretend. I'm going to keep talking the talk. So Hashem finally says, just go with them. That's what you want to do. Stop pretending you don't want to go with them. And just go with them. Because b'derech she'adam rotza leilich, the path that you're going to choose for yourself, is the path that Hashem is going to push you down. So sometimes, Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin says, we think that we have Hashem's support, but really Hashem is just pushing us down a path that we chose. So the fact that things are working out, even, it's a sign, it's a simen, it's a heavenly sign that this is the right path. Lav dafka. You have to be deeply honest with yourself and challenge yourself. Lo sasur achrei levavchem v'achrei einechem. Don't be deceived by your emotions. Don't be deceived by what you see, your own success. Does not necessarily mean that it's Hashem's stamp of approval. It might be, but also might not be. It's hard. These are hard topics. These are hard Indian. All right, let's wrap up the piece. In Ozvav, I'm just going to summarize it, but he quotes, you see at the beginning, he quotes the pasuk again of Vayikra Chavav. V'nasati mishkani besochachem v'lo sig'al nafshi eschem. All you have to do is read the pasuk and you see this idea. I will place my mishkan in your midst, and I will not be disgusted by you. Is there nothing in the middle? Between a Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence in our midst, Hashras HaShechina, Beis HaMikdash, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu being repulsed by us, is there literally nothing in the middle? And the answer somewhat is, either you live with Hashem, or you don't. And there's no dabbling, in terms of living with Hashem. He quotes a very interesting thing here, how the Zohar describes that in the Mishnah, on the pasuk, Mishnas Hayovel Hazos, the Zohar seems to indicate that in the year Hazos, in the fifth millennia, in the year Zos, 408, so in the year 5408, which by the secular calendar corresponds to 1648, Mashiach is supposed to come. It's one of the dates for Geula that the Zohar seems to allude to. Of course, in 1648, Mashiach didn't come. And in 1648, there was terrible, terrible prosecution of the Jewish people. Right? The Gezeros Tach V'Tat, which we mourn, we lament on Tisha B'Av. Right? Tach V'Tat. The Milniki massacres. Horrific destruction of Jewish communities. Right? So what's the pshat? And many tzaddikim have explained that that's how it always is. Either it's going to be the greatest or it's going to be the worst. There was an Ace Ratzon, the Zohar's Megalith to us, again, based on hints in different psukim, that there was an Ace Ratzon. Something could have been, right? In the year Zos, Zos is Gematria 408, in the year 5408. And in the end, Me'es Hashem Ha'isa Zos, from Hashem there's that possibility of Zos, He Niflos Me'inenu. It's wondrous. It could be wondrous destruction, it could be wondrous success. But that's, again, very much dependent on the choices that we make. Okay, turn the page, let's go to the last paragraph. Let's go to the last section, Mahajrim and Mahajrim, on page Samach Dal. Rabbi Stein concludes this very thought-provoking essay by connecting it very directly to Chanukah. And that is, of course, the Gemara in Shabbos tells us when the Avadim entered the Heichal, they found that all the oil was Tameh. And he asks in the left-hand column on page Samach Dal, at five lines in, V'hiksha Pnei Yoshua. We discussed this question, the Pnei Yoshua's question. Shekol Torah Chaneis Lama. Why did Hashem bother to help them find this one jar that was tahor. The hakayim alan tumah hutrib tzibur. We have a rule that you're allowed to use tamei oil. By yucholin lahadik b'shem and tamei. B'di'evad, they certainly could have used tamei oil. So in the Sefer Kuntras Hamo'adim, it quotes from Hagrid Halevi, Rav Yosef Dov Halevi, Saldechik. Shetiret shekavanas hayivanim haizalitamei asataros. That the Yavanim, their intention in what, in defiling the oil, was kedei lahaviram al hadas. It was a religious attack. It was an attack on religion. Again, all the Torah is Shemen, is Merames to Chachma and Beis HaMikdash, the Chachma Elokis, godly wisdom. Right? Again, as the Rambam describes at the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah, Baba Yesheni Kishamolchu Yavan, Gozru Gezeros al Yisrael, Uvitlu Datam. They tried to negate our religion. It was a religious attack. And in doing so, they went into the Heichel, Pirtzu Bo Pirtzos. They breached the walls of Beis HaMikdash, of the Sorig, little lattice fence around the Beis HaMikdash, around the Harabayis, V'timu Ataros. V'alkein Av Shemitzad Shura Sadin Adlakas HaMenorah Doichas HaTumah. And therefore, even though Me'ikar Hadin, yes, you could use Tamei oil, but the whole victory of Chanukah is that we're not interested in compromise. We're not interested in bidi-eved opportunities. We don't want to do the mitzvah in a bidi-eved way. You'll tell me, well, the halacha says, b'shasar chak, it's okay, it's good enough. But that's what Yavan wants, that's the whole philosophy of Yavan. Now let Torah just be good enough. Let it be another philosophy. Not the winning philosophy. Not the emes philosophy. And therefore, if the whole intention of the Yavanim was what? Was to be betame the taros. To create a blurriness between the world of Tamei and Tar, between a world of Or where you have a clarity and Choshech. In the world of Choshech, everything looks the same. In the dark, everything looks the same. If we were sitting in a pitch black room right now, we'd all look exactly the same. We wouldn't be able to distinguish the different clothing that we're wearing, right? The different color of our hairs, our eye color. I'm not just talking about our physical beings, all the more so the individual personalities that each of us embody. So the world of Choshech is where everything is the same. It's the opposite of a world of Hischadshus, where things are new and things are fresh, and things are lecharchila. Moshe Wolfson says, Choshech is gematria chidush. Because chidush is where everything's new. Choshech is where everything's the same. So therefore, the philosophy of Yavan was what? The philosophy of Yavan was, again, just kind of leveling the playing field, where nothing is unique. Everything loses that unique expression. That's a tragedy. And we're satisfied with just enough, good enough. That's a tragedy. And therefore, Rabbi Stein concludes the piece, just the last line on page Samach Dalet. U'mehai taima. And for this reason, it's so obvious to us. Dafka b'yom tov shal Chanukah, turn to the very last page. Dafka by the yom tov of Chanukah, noe kol echad lahadlik as a menorah, be'ofen kitzoni shal mahadrin min mahadrin. How did it become so mainstream that everyone goes above and beyond on Chanukah? So much so that when the Shulchan Aruch in one place introduces how to light the menorah, he just presents Mahadrim and a Mahadrim. In one place the Shulchan Aruch says, there's Ner Yishu Beso, there's a level up called Mahadrim, there's a third level called Mahadrim min a Mahadrim. But in one place, Shulchan Aruch kind of takes it for granted that everyone does Mahadrim and a Mahadrim. Why are we assuming everyone does? Well, maybe I just didn't. Maybe I'm a Ner Yishu Beso kind of Yid, who does enough, also counts. So Rabbi Stein explains, because again, that's exactly what the very message of Chanukah is. Have something you believe in and go for it all the way. Yes, in Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, compromise, of course, has a place. And that's how we started. Pshara is a mitzvah in a certain type of context. But Yehuda's failed leadership to pick a side between Yosef and the brothers and to say, let's just sell Yosef. That avoids the whole thing. That's not leadership. Vayered Yehuda. Yehuda, how do you read that after that? Because a leader has to be able, malchus. The inyan of malchus means being able to take tough positions sometimes, and believing in those positions, and realizing that yes, sometimes the world lives between bracha and klala, with nothing in between, where there is no middle ground. Sometimes yes, v'shachanti mishkani b'sochachem, you place the mishkan amongst you, below tigal nafshi aschem, not to be despised by Hashem, because you can't strive for average. And yes, in b'chukos ayte lechu, if you learn Torah seriously, then you won't be in b'chukos aytim osu. Then you won't despise Torah. I want to learn a little bit. I want to be a little bit into mitzvahs. It's not so realistic. That's what it's saying here. If there's no mayim, there's going to be nachashim v'akravim. That's just the metzius of the world. If you don't fill your life with some substantive living, so mamela, your life is going to be filled up with stuff that really no human being, forget Jew, no human being wants to fill their life with silliness. Okay, so we should be zocha on Chanukah to know what we stand for, to know what we believe in, and to keep pushing it forwards. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Just keep striving for a little bit more. A little bit more authentic, a little bit more connected, a little bit more dedicated. All right. Shubizecha, yeah. Chidush. Usually we spell Chidush Ches, Yud, Dalet, Vav, Shin.
That is off by 6.
Chidush. No, because Choshech is spelled in the Torah without a Vav.
Okay.
Yeah, Choshech is spelled. The first time we see Choshech in the Torah, it's Ches, Shin, Chav. Yeah, 328. So Chidush is Gematria Choshech. Yeah. Okay. Shkoyach. Rabbi Stein, one of our esteemed Rosh Yeshiva. Schuss. Usually we learn Torah from Tzaddikim who are not with us anymore. It's special to learn Torah. You can go visit him on the third floor of Gluck. Stop by his office this afternoon.
He is doing
it. Oh, is he? Okay. So go tell him you learned the Chamudei Daniel and you enjoyed his sefer.